We're going to turn in our Bibles, please, to the book of Acts and chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We're going to read the first 11 verses. The Word of God says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." Amen. We'll finish there at verse 11, and we do know God will bless His Word to our hearts again this evening. In this passage of Scripture that we've read this evening, we find two of the apostles, two of the most well-known of the apostles. They're making their way to the temple. Peter and John are on their way to the temple in Jerusalem. We know that in Acts chapter 2, we have had the day of Pentecost, and we don't know how much time has passed since then. We know that some days have passed, because in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, it says the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So there have been some days have passed since the day of Pentecost. But here we have these apostles and believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they're still making their way to the temple, and they're going there for the afternoon prayer meeting at the hour of prayer, it tells us, being the ninth hour. Now, the New Testament church at this stage was still very much in a transitional period. It was moving from the old to the new, and there was still an element of attachment to the temple, and there was certainly an attachment to the traditional hours of prayer. And in the temple at that time, there were three seasons or three hours of prayer which were held each day. They were the third hour, the sixth hour, and the ninth hour. And Peter and John are coming to the temple here at the ninth hour prayer time. And I wonder, as I read this passage, every time I read it, I always think about the ninth hour. I think about the fact that the ninth hour, perhaps for the disciples and for those who follow Jesus, it perhaps held a new significance, because it was the ninth hour as they gathered around the cross at Calvary that the darkness had lifted. For 3 hours there had been darkness over all of the place, and God had poured out His wrath and His judgment for the sins of the world upon His only begotten Son, the one who came to this earth to be the substitute for sinners. And in those dark hours, God had dealt with sin. But at the ninth hour, the darkness had lifted. And the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately after that happened, the Bible tells us that He bowed His head. He cried out. He bowed His head. And He gave up the ghost. And maybe for the disciples, maybe for Peter and John, they've been coming to the temple at this time because it was for them a time of remembrance, a time of reflection of what Christ had done when He had suffered and died upon that cross for guilty sinners, when He suffered and died for them. On this occasion that we're reading about in Acts chapter 3, they've come to the temple, and as they're making their way to the temple, we read the verses. In verse 2 it says, "There was a certain man lame from his mother's womb, and this man was carried." They've met a lame man. And this man comes to their attention for a reason. Because in verse 3 it tells us that he saw, or who's seeing, Peter and John, about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And he comes to their attention because he pleads with them. He asks them to give him some charity. He's lying there and he's seeking charity from those who are making their way into the temple, making their way in on, at this hour of worship. And on this particular day, it's Peter and John who he calls out to. I believe that he called out to others that day. But at this particular moment, in this particular time, it's Peter and John. And I wonder, given everything that had happened in the days before in the city of Jerusalem, and it was Peter, remember, who had stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached that great message. And the disciples and the apostles then, they had been pointing people to Christ. And here we have Peter and John coming into the temple. I wondered, did this lame man know who he was speaking to? Did he realize that it was Peter? I suspect that perhaps he knew, because with the best will in the world, when situations and events like that happen for a period of time, people become what we would call minor celebrities. And Peter would have been known in the city. And Peter's on his way here to the temple, and this man calls out to him and John. And the passage that we've read this evening reveals to us that for this lame man, this day was different. For this lame man, everything was going to change. The day would be different from any day he'd ever experienced before. And I want us to look at that just for a moment or two tonight. To look at this man. To look at what this passage presents for us in terms of the gospel. I want you to see, first of all, the picture of the sinner. The picture of the sinner. In verse 2, we have a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. Now, the Bible tells us, it doesn't tell us in chapter 3, but the Bible tells us in chapter 4 and verse 22, roughly what age this man was. In chapter 4 and verse 22, it tells us there that the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. So what we have here is a man who's over 40 years of age, who's been born in this condition. He was lame from his mother's womb. He suffered with this condition all of his life. He wasn't able to walk. He had to be carried everywhere that he went. The word that's translated in this verse 2 of Acts chapter 3 is lame. It's a very descriptive word in the original language. It can mean that he was maimed. It could mean that he was deprived of the use of a foot or of his feet. Could mean one of two things. But whichever it was that was his condition, the fact that we are certain of, because the Word of God tells us it, makes it very clear to us, is that this man could not walk at all. He couldn't walk. His condition was such that he was dependent upon others for everything. Now, if this man was over 40 years of age, his parents were older than that. We don't know what age his parents were, but certainly they were at a stage in life where carrying a man in his 40s wouldn't have been an easy task. When he was just a child, it would have been easier for them to lift him and carry him and take him to the places that they needed to take him. But now he's a grown man, and they're getting older, and yet here we have this man who was carried everywhere. He was dependent upon others for everything. And he was carried to this chosen spot at the gate of the temple every day. And it tells us that, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. He was there every day. And there he lay, and he lay begging, crying out to those who were passing by, those who were going into the temple, and he was asking them for alms. He was in a very choice place. It's believed that in the city of Jerusalem at this time that there were only three real places that people gathered to cry out or to beg for alms. And this was the choice location. This was the one that people wanted to be at. Because this was the one where the religious people went. This was the one where those people who were hoping that they could do good works, for some of them, they were endeavouring to do good, and they were trying to be pious, among other things. And a poor lame man lying at the gate of the temple, this beautiful gate of the temple, he would have hoped for their sympathy. And he would have hoped for their charity. And one way that their sympathy would have been seen would have been through their charity, through the giving of alms. Now, he's over 40 years. He's never walked. They talk about whenever you have an injury and you need to start the recovery process and the recuperation process as soon as possible in order to recover muscle memory. because muscle memory fades. But this lame man had no muscle memory. He had never walked. So there was no muscle memory built up. He had never learned how to walk. Physically speaking, there was no hope for this man. He just had to lie there at the gate of the temple and hold out his hands, which he could use, and hope that people would be charitable towards him. He's come here to this place. A place where he hoped that he could make the best of his life in the condition that he was in. He put his hope in religious people in order to provide for his need. Well, how do we see the picture of a sinner in this? Well, I want to try and show you that tonight. I want you to see that there's a clear picture of sinners in this man. A man who was born lame. A man who was born, physically speaking, unable to walk. All of us are born, spiritually speaking, unable to walk in the way which pleases God. None of us are able to walk in the way which pleases God from a spiritual perspective. We're all born as sinners. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3 about the fall into sin, how Adam fell into sin because of his disobedience to the command of God. And because of Adam's fall, because he fell, we are born spiritually lame, unable to walk as we ought to. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, as the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Rome, he says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." That's our condition outside of Christ. We're born helpless. We're born destitute. We're born unable to do anything to save ourselves. This man was destitute. This man was lying at the gate of the temple. He couldn't work. He couldn't earn in any other way. He's begging at the gate of the temple. He wasn't wealthy. If he was wealthy, he wouldn't have been here. He was carried to this place day after day. Life appeared hopeless for this man. And folks, each of us are born in this condition before God. Each of us are born destitute before God. Spiritually bankrupt before God. We're hopeless. Born unable of ourselves to pay the tremendous debt that we owe to God. In Luke chapter 7, I think it's verse 37 down to verse 50 or somewhere in and around there. We read of a woman and she washed the feet of the Lord Jesus and she anointed his feet with oil. And the Lord Jesus took what she had done and he spoke about a great debt and the forgiveness of a great debt. And you remember the story. And listen, there is such a debt for us. We're in debt. We're liable for it because of our sin. Outside of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't pay that debt. We're in no position to pay it. Our works don't do it. Our money doesn't do it. Our effort doesn't do it. Our connections don't do it. Our family don't do it. There's nothing that does it. But the fact is that we don't have to pay the debt because the Lord Jesus Christ paid the debt for us at the cross. He went to that cross. And he took our sins upon him. The hymn writer penned it like this. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Folks, we see a picture here in this man. I want you to see that it's a picture of the sinner. The man lying at the gate of the temple. He's a picture of fallen man. It's a picture of the sinner. But I want you to see secondly tonight the picture of separation. Look with me again at verse 2. It says, "A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." This man couldn't enter the temple. Because of his physical condition, he would have been classed by the religious leaders, by the Pharisees and by the priests, the high priest and all. He would have been classed as unclean. And he had no access to the temple. So he's come to the temple as close as he can come. He's come to the gate of the temple. He can't come any closer. He can't go through the gate. He's been brought to this place. He's been brought right to the gate of the temple. One commentator, John Phillips, said that if someone had to beg, this was the place to come to. This was the gate that would have been used by the great and the good of society to enter the temple. This was the gate where the rich would pass by. It's a beautiful gate. And he's right at the gate. Now, when the Bible talks about the beautiful gate and the temple, this gate was located on the eastern side of the temple in Jerusalem. And it was the gate that separated the court of the Gentiles from the court of the women. It said, according to the Jewish historian Josephus, that it was a huge gate. It was made of bronze from Corinth, and it took 20 men to close it or to open it. So that's the size of the gate. If we think about that. You think about the size of this gate. It was huge. And yet even though this lame man was at the gate of the temple, and even though the gate was broad, even though it was huge and there was room for him to be carried through that gate, he couldn't go through that gate. He was still separated from those who were entering into the temple. And listen, there's something else here in this. And I only thought about it as I was sitting here on the platform. Those who carried him, they brought him as far as they could. They couldn't bring him any closer. They couldn't carry him any further. And maybe you're here tonight, and you're here tonight because someone has brought you. And they brought you, and they brought you before, and they brought you before, and they're bringing you under the sound of the gospel. And listen, that's as far as they can bring you. That's as far as they can bring you. They can't save you. Only Christ can save you. And this lame man, lying at the gate, people going in and out, people passing by, him asking for alms from them, and yet he couldn't go through the gate. He was separated from them. And the gate may as well have been closed, it may as well have been locked, it may as well have been guarded, as far as this man was concerned, because he couldn't get in. And he wouldn't be accepted in this condition. Folks, tonight I want to ask you a question. Because you're sitting right now in a gospel meeting. And maybe you've been coming to gospel meetings for years. And you're not saved. You're just like this man. Because your sin still separates you from God. You're right at the door. Right at the door. And your sin separates you from God. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Your sin separates you. There's a picture of a sinner here. And there's a picture of separation here, but I want you to see this man, I want you to see what happens, because what we have is a picture of salvation. He's asked an alms of Peter and John. And it tells us that Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter says, "Look at us. We've got something for you." But it's not what the man expects. He expects a coin. He expects them to meet his need, his financial need, his physical need, whatever you want to call it. But there was something greater. Something better. And Peter, who just a few days before, in the upper room, was filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter had something much better than silver and gold. And I believe since the day of Pentecost that Peter was always looking for opportunities to point people to Jesus. I believe since that point in time, he was looking around and he was looking at souls. And in Acts chapter 2, as Peter stood up, he preached to the multitude. He preached to the crowd. And it tells us how there were many who trusted in the Lord. In fact, it tells us that there were added to the church 3,000 souls that day as Peter preached the gospel. But in Acts chapter 3, Peter's not preaching to a crowd. Peter's got one man in his sights. Just one individual. And the message that Peter preached in Acts chapter 2 is the same message that he declares in Acts chapter 3. It's Jesus Christ. A message of hope and a message of salvation through Jesus. And Peter here speaks to this man and he tells this man to rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ. And Peter, through the power that had been given to him, the power of Christ, he gives this man a permanent solution to all of the problems that had impacted him in his life. If Peter had just looked at that man as he was passing by, Peter and John, as they're passing by, and the man reaches out his hand to them and says, "Will you give me something?" If Peter had have not even glanced at the man, hadn't taken notice of him and just reached and handed him a coin, the next day this man would have been lying outside the gate of the temple. Nothing would have changed other than his need had been met for that one day. But Peter didn't deal with that one day temporary problem. Peter pointed him to an eternal solution. Peter provided for him through Christ his eternal need. Physically he could walk. Financially he could earn. He never again would need to beg. And listen, spiritually there was nothing to stop him from entering the temple now. And that's exactly what he did. Because that's what it tells us. It says he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Now they were heading in through the gate that he had sat outside for years and had never been able to go through the gate. And as they're going through the gate, this man goes with them. For the first time in his life, he enters the temple. That's the picture of salvation. There's a change has been worked in this man. And Peter declares that. Because it tells us in verse 12, and we can't read all of the verses, but from verse 12 down to verse 26, it says, "When Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, and he preaches to them." He preaches Christ. And we have those wonderful words where he talks about how you denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murder to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life whom God hath raised from the dead. And as you read on down to verse 19, what does Peter say to the crowd that are gathered? Because now, this one man, his life has been changed, and now Peter has this opportunity to declare the gospel to the whole crowd and to everyone. And what does Peter say? He says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." That's his message. "Repent ye therefore and be converted." That's the message of the gospel. It's life-changing. But it's not just life-changing. It's eternity-changing. It changes your eternal destiny. It makes you fitted for heaven. It makes you to be justified. Friends, tonight Christ can lift you out of your condition. He can lift you out of your weakness. He can take you and through the finished work of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with man's inability to walk in the way that would please God. In Romans chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says, "By the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." By the righteousness of one. And that one is Jesus Christ. And because of what Christ has done at the cross, our debt has been paid, our hope has been purchased by the gift of God through Jesus Christ. We have redemption. Redemption through His blood, according to the forgiveness of sins. Even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. You see, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross, the veil of the temple was torn in two. And that way was opened up. That veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Physically speaking, no man could do it because of the size of the veil. But it was torn from the top to the bottom. And that new access was opened up. And that access was opened between God and man because Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, had taken the sins of the world upon Himself and He had opened up that way. And you can have redemption tonight. You can have life tonight. You can be made fitted for heaven tonight through trusting in Christ. The story is told of an incident that took place in a medical center in the land of Kenya. was a little 8-year-old girl. Her name was Monica. And she fell into a pit and broke her leg. And there was an older lady who came along by the name of Mama Nieri. And she came down into the pit and she helped to get Monica out of the pit. But in the pit that Monica had fallen into was a dangerous snake. It was a black mamba snake. The snake was poisonous. And the snake bit Mama Nieri and then it bit Monica. And they were both brought up out of the pit. Monica was brought to the medical centre. She was admitted for treatment. And everything was fine for her. But Mama Nieri went home. And she fell asleep and never woke up. Because of the venom of the snake. And the next day, in the medical centre, a missionary nurse explained what happened to Monica. And explained how Mama Nieri had died. And she said that this lady had taken the venom. She had taken the poison in the first bite. And there was no poison left for Monica. The snake had bitten them both. But only one had suffered the death. There's a picture there for us of what Christ has done. He took the punishment that was due to us, and we go free. Are you saved tonight? Are you trusting in what Christ has done? You see, your sin separates you from God, and you have no standing before God. You have no hope of salvation. You have no way of walking according to the way that would please God except through the work of Christ. That's the only way you can be fitted for heaven. The lame man in our passage this evening, he could find no hope in religion. He could find no help in religion. He was at the very gate of the temple and they had no help for him. But when Christ came into his life, he was immediately healed. Immediately and permanently. And the same can be said tonight for you. Your sin can be dealt with. You can be fitted for heaven, ready for eternity. Why? Because the one who went to the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, he brings hope to the helpless. We're helpless without him. But we are ready in Christ. Ready for heaven. Ready for home. And filled with hope. I trust that you know him tonight as your Savior. And that you're ready for heaven.